JoeBucksFan.com presents Bucks Game Day with Ozzy, the sports junkie.
It's time to get your
Start your Bucks Sunday with insight and outrage. Get your head out of your ass.
It's a madhouse!
All season at JoeBucksFan.com.
A madhouse!
This is how it goes, Sal, and you're listening to Ozzy the Sports Junkie right here on JoeBucksFan.com.
Ozzy back on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast, breaking it all down, getting ready for preseason game number three. Another two games that I might just jam my eye out with a fork. My next guest, hot young gun up there, all over the airwaves, not only in the morning, but on the sports station as well, named Jacobson. Well, he's great. This kid is going places. I think he's phenomenal. But I go to the source. I go to the maven, the senior of the Jacobson sports family. It's a legacy. It's Jake Jacobson. Jake, of course, 10 plus years of stellar, outstanding work here in Sarasota, Bradenton. Number one in the market for a long time. Covered the Bucks, Rays from New York. Jake Jacobson, pleasure to have you on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast.
I'm thrilled to be here, Oz. Joe's Buck Fan, as we know, is worldwide known. And it's an honor to be with you doing this little segment on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, by the way, this is you know how I feel about preseason games. I think they're, you know, crap, but they need to be played so you can see some of the players,
sure,
and get adjusted to the new, especially with the Buccaneers, with the new coaching system, with Arians and Bowles on the defensive side and Leftwich on the offensive side. But this week's game with Baker Mayfield and the Browns coming in for week three, where your starters could probably play close to three quarters, this could be a fun Friday night game.
It could be. I'm glad I didn't pay to see any of that game last Friday. On top of everything else that's bad about preseason football, it rained, it was nasty, one and done for the starters. You're right. I better see a good three quarters of starters on offense. And I know Jameis Winston is an easy target because he's the face of the offense in Tampa Bay. But as bad as the offense has been, the defense has been worse. There, no lead has been safe in the last 5 years, if not 10, for this defense. The defense, to me, needs to step it up, maybe even more than the offense. They got to shut guys down because there was no lead safe. I mean, they've blown four touchdown leads, Jake. So a lot of stepping up to do. We need to get some game time under the belt starting this Friday night.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles had a decent career as a defensive coordinator under Bruce Arians with the Cardinals.
Sure.
He's been around football for a long period of time. Here's what I will tell you as a Jet fan, and then a guy who watched him over a couple of years with the New York Jets as a head coach. You're not going to see any emotion. Is that okay for a defensive guy? Usually you want him fired up. You want him going down in the sidelines when they come off the field and, you know, basically rah-rah, sis, boom, bomb, or put in their face telling what they're doing wrong. You're not going to get that from Todd Bowles, but he's been successful as a coordinator. As a head coach, the reason why he's gone from the Jets, complete failure.
Well, he brings in that 3-4 system, which Buck fans have not seen. Nobody's seen a 3-4 system around here in quite some time. Vita Vey, well, that remains to be seen if he'll start or not. But like I mentioned, there's a lot of dead weight as far as salary sitting on that bench. Somebody's got to step up. The Will Golston's to make $3.5 million. The Bo Allen, who came over from the Eagles, who did nothing last year. How about Spence, the outside edge rush passer? Devontae Bond, the inside linebacker, now moved to outside, and he's making quite an impression at practice. What I'm saying is somebody's got to step up. And with it's a quagmire, if you ask me. They draft 4 or 5 defensive backs every year, and every year they don't know who the hell's going to start. The only guy, I guess, locked in is Hargraves, the former number one pick, who looks like he's back to play some football, which would be nice. Backed out of a first-round pick, who his first two seasons, he looked good. Injured last year. He looks so far in camp, he looks all right. But somebody's got to step up, or this is going to be the same old, same old.
Look, we've talked about this. Hardest position, in my opinion, I think you feel the same way, whether it's NFL or college football, because of the rules now, is cornerback. And if you're going to be a first-round pick in cornerback, you're taking a big risk because it's so difficult to predict whether these guys can play man for man, can cover these great receivers that they're moving from a college background to an NFL, which is a whole nother level, and the speed of the game is so much quicker.
Well, Levante David comes back. He had an injury cleanup surgery. He should be good to go on opening day. I think just as much pressure that's put on Jameis Winston in the offense, now, which is a lot, I think the defense is going to dictate whether this team is even in ball games.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you have a good offense, Jameis knows how to control the ball, doesn't throw interceptions. They eat up the clock. Best defense is a good offense.
Exactly. Keep them off the field. We'll flip then to the offensive side of the ball. Rojo Jones, last year's second-round pick. Complete and utter disappointment. I think he finished with 50 yards. I don't remember where he even had that. He's looked unbelievable in a very limited first-team exposure in the first two games. I want to see this guy for a quarter or so.
Well, you got to wait. This is where you're going to wait until the first game of the season. It's not going to happen in preseason. You look at some of the players out there. First of all, Ezekiel Elliott will probably end up coming back.
He's
probably
Ezekiel? I almost broke you on that the other day. Ezekiel.
Ezekiel?
Is that the proper biblical pronunciation?
I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is he'll sign a contract. He'll be back in uniform come opening game. I can almost guarantee
it. Oh, you know that.
Le'Veon Bell, who signed the contract for the Jets, Gase, the head coach, will not play him until the first game of the season. So all he's doing is getting comfortable with the offensive line through practice. And he'll get his first taste of the New York Jet playing in the Meadowlands or MetLife Stadium now. When opening season starts, they don't want to, even though he missed a season, they don't want to risk any injuries after the money they put up to invest in him.
Well, speaking of money, it would have been nice for the Buccaneers to be players in the Le'Veon Bell or maybe fake any interest in David Johnson in Arizona. They had no money. They had no money because they've blown money on wasted defensive linemen, offensive linemen. They bring in J.R. Sweezy. He's got a broken freaking leg. I mean, I pointed this out to another Buccaneer insider who will probably later on this show make an appearance. Who the hell's in charge of scouting? Who the hell's in charge of football operations? And that would be Shelton Quarles. Now, that's an easy target to throw at somebody whose name is didn't even... Your average fan wouldn't even know who the hell that is other than his playing days. You think there's any accountability to a guy who's president of football operations and player development? Or is that just kind of a ceremonial title?
Well, the only way to find out is if the papers talk about it, and I haven't heard a damn thing.
And wouldn't you think, when I fire somebody, I'd fire the whole freaking front office, wouldn't you?
Well, again, it starts from the top. You get rid of the general manager, another general manager comes in, decides whether he wants to keep the head coach or bring his own crew. That's up to him. It was Jason Light... Was he worthy of the 5-year extension that happened in January? We didn't find out until a week or two ago. Was he worthy of that? Was it worth getting Bruce Arians, who has a great resume?
He does.
To keep Jason Light here? Well, that has yet to be determined. We'll find out. But I do think the addition of Arians helps. First of all, I think he's great with the media. And I think the players love him. And I think they'll enjoy playing with him. It's just a matter of getting adjusted to the system. I think we'll find out. Maybe not the first couple games, but by game four, we'll have a better understanding of the direction of the team in the first year under Arians.
Well, we get out of the gate. They get out of the gate early. They start with a 4 o'clock opener against San Francisco. Thank God, because it's going to be a steamer as it is at 4 o'clock. Then a quick week. They could play that Thursday in Carolina against Cam Newton and company. I mean, if they get off to 2-0 start, there's going to be a real buzz about this team, or it could go the other way. Who knows?
Well, playing at home against 49ers, Garoppolo missed all of his first year with the 49ers. This is a big season for him. 49ers had an awful couple of years. Garoppolo was brought in, brought some excitement to the team and to the fans surrounding area for San Francisco. And then, of course, what was it, the first game, first play, something like that? He gets his torn ACL or whatever the injury was that kept him out the whole season.
Done.
So, you know, he has not looked good. Again, this is the preseason, getting himself back in football shape. First couple of games, Garoppolo struggled.
You know, Jake, the one thing that seems to be resonating throughout Buccaneer fans is this seems to be a little bit of a different vibe. Now, Dirk Koetter, he was effective as an offensive coordinator, which got him the job. He was basically there to groom Winston, and it just didn't happen. Showing no pulse at all. But when he said, and not to repeat myself, I don't know what the problem is, and I don't know how to fix it. I don't care if you're a street sweeper or president of the United States. That's going to get you fired anywhere you
absolutely
are. These guys are buying in. From what I'm hearing, there's maybe a little bit of a different vibe. Maybe it's my pewter-colored glasses. Don't you think that the first things first, obviously winning games, but before you say even winning games, you got to change that mentality of guys who've been there and said, well, we're the Buccaneers. We play competitive. You know, we don't get big crowds, but, you know, screw it. The check's cash either way. You got to get that team believing that they can win. Well, and he did it in Arizona.
Let's go back a little bit. Lovie Smith, we thought was a good hire, and I think everybody agreed because he was a Tony Dungy disciple.
Sure.
He was successful in Chicago. Maybe his heart wasn't in it when he got here, or things have changed. I know he didn't like cursing in the locker room. I don't think the players bought into all that. Don't you remember you couldn't curse in the locker room around them?
I don't remember that, but
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of silly to expect grown men not to be able to do that.
Absolutely. So that didn't work out. Arians, as though he is, when you look at his career, dating back to Peyton Manning, you know, with Indianapolis, dating back to Andrew Luck and taking over Pagano's position when he had the cancer in 2012, going 9-3 and winning the AFC Coach of the Year. I mean, it's unbelievable. Then he goes to Arizona and, you know, goes to the NFC Championship game, turns around the you know, this program over there.
Perennial losers in Arizona. I mean, although they had been to a Super Bowl with Wisenhunt, but that was about a decade prior.
His overall record, and this is really, while in Arizona, 49-30-1, which is tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
636 winning percentage.
Here's a bad number. He's head coach, what, 6-7 years he spent at the helm of NFL squads, never made it through one season without a hospitalization at some point during regular season.
Well, that's maybe why he took a year off.
Can you see
together?
Perhaps he's on the sideline, maybe game four or so. Jameis has one of those learning curve Sundays where he throws four picks. It's 180 in the shade, and he just explodes. All you see is a blotch of red in that hat.
I'll tell you what he reminds me of, just thinking about it right now. Burl Ives. Remember Burl Ives?
He does look a little Burl Ives-y.
Right?
Well, Jameis knew he couldn't throw a touchdown and play with the other reindeer. I think he ought to sell Norelco shavers coming down the hill in that fucking sleigh. How about this? You know what was incredible? If I had to put a gun to your head, Jake Jacobson, and said, who is the oldest coach in Buccaneer history, who would you say?
The oldest coach in Buccaneers history?
Yeah.
McKay?
It has to be McKay, right? Yeah. He looked like he was 105.
You would think.
He was 61.
61 then was like, you know,
It was only the 70s, man. He was 61. Arians is 66. He looks like he beat the shit out of anybody.
Oh, God.
He's a good guy. I think he's the perfect guy for the job. And in Light's defense, every hire I was on board with, I thought Raheem, well, they got rid of Gruden, I thought, a little hastily. But let's go with the young guy. Maybe he's the next Mike Tomlin. Okay, let's get the hard ass in here. Maybe these guys have no discipline. Okay, let's go back to Dungy with Lovie Smith. Okay, let's get rid of Lovie and let's keep Dirk Cutter. It's hard to criticize. Hindsight's 20/20, and then his top round picks, with the exception of the kicker, you couldn't criticize on draft day any of those picks, could you? Is it his fault that none of them panned out?
Yeah.
He hit Mike Evans.
Look,
he hit Mike Evans, and that's about it.
That's the way it goes.
I know.
That's how you're judged.
You know? You're judged on your performance, and his performance is shit.
Well, you're judged by your draft picks. You're also judged as general manager, the hardest business, hardest job in any sports business, general manager of football, because of salary cap restriction. You got to know everything. And so it's the people you bring in and how much money you waste and how much money you don't waste in the free agent market. And Light has been a complete failure when it comes to that. But I will tell you, with Arians, when I talk about the pedigree of quarterbacks he's worked with, from Peyton Manning to Ben Roethlisberger and Andrew Luck, but rather he was the offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh from 2007 to 2011, and of course Ben Roethlisberger has been around forever and was the quarterback then. This guy knows what he's doing back there. If Jameis can't succeed under Arians, this could be the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. They could, in theory, Jake, franchise tag him next year for one additional year.
Let's see what he does this year.
You're going to have another. Yeah, say their Bucks go 7-9. He throws 30 touchdowns and 27 picks.
That's not good.
No, I mean, I don't care about the gaudy numbers. Really don't impress me, because it's always when they're down by 3 touchdowns. They're throwing the ball all day when you're down that many points. And that can be, of course, attributed to the defense. But turning the ball over gives the other team the ball. I mean, point the figure specifically at. No, the whole team has been horrible for the last decade. And let's hope Arians can turn it all around. And it starts with an attitude change. And I'm starting to see a little bit of it, I hope.
look, you gotta come in with optimism because of the new coach, and it's not your, you know, I wouldn't say he's a retread, but he's kind of, but he took a year off, but he's been so successful from the 2012 situation, which I told you with Indianapolis, and then get hired by Arizona, and it wasn't a fluke what he did with Indianapolis, taking him 9-3 in the playoffs with Pagan out. It wasn't a fluke because he proved it with Arizona. Come in with optimism. Every team now has a chance to make the playoffs. You're 0-0. Look forward to the progression that Arian brings to the team, and maybe seeing Jameis Winston finally hit the, you know, the potential that we've all expected since he's coming out from Florida State.
He's Jake Jacobson. His son is Arian Jacobson over there at 620, the budding superstar. But I go to the Maven. I go to the source. The dignitary. I have no idea.
The matriarch.
The matriarch of the Jacobson sports family.
The patriarch,
and
whatever it is.
You and I have bounced around. Boy, we have a long and a storied, we could write a book, The Jake and Ozzie Story, how we turned $1 million in real estate into $25 in cash, love and broken dreams, and then winding up at a strip mall talking sports. But it's what we do. It's what we love. Jake, all right, I'll close on this. I'll give you one quickie at you. We've talked a little bit of negativity about the Bucks because, let's face it, they've been horrible. How about the positives? They finally got a kicker. This gay kid is looking unbelievable. Get the gay jokes out. I can't wait for the first time he blows a kick and it says gay gags big one. Get it out of your system. I don't want to see that. We don't need that. Gay blows it again for the Bucks. Don't tell me they're going to have a field day with that, be it on and offline. But who cares? This kid looks like he's the real deal. I saw a shot. I know it was only practice, although he did hit the game-winning kick the other night. He hit one from 57, 61, 67. I think the last one was 70 yards indoors.
He is a keeper.
And
for the time being,
if Rojo Jones runs like he has in camp and the little bit we've seen in practice, that's why I want to see an extended look this Friday night. That would be gigantic in taking the pressure off number three. He's got four big targets in Mike Evans, Godwin, Brait, and O.J. Howard. The pieces are there to be competitive.
And we'll see what Todd Bowles does with his defense against Baker Mayfield. He did play, the Jets played, him as head coach last year, played Baker Mayfield in the game that Baker Mayfield started, and he gave us a lot of problems. So we'll see how Todd Bowles learned from that game last year as head coach for the Jets, how he puts it into play and puts a defensive scheme against them on Friday night. And then that'll be a nice little thing to watch out for, see how the defense plays against Baker Mayfield.
It'll be interesting. I want to see extended looks at this team because, you know, you think about a football game 60 minutes by clock, it's a good 3 hours of sweating it out and just killing it in the Florida heat. With Jake Jacobson, my buddy, my cohort in crime, it's great to have you on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast. We're going to touch base with you throughout the season. You might even come out if I can pry you out on maybe an occasional Monday night or a Thursday night. Who knows? You can come out and meet the Maven, the matriarch of the Jacobson Sports Talk family.
There you go. Is matriarch or patriarch?
I don't know.
Which one's England, which one's the woman?
The New England matriarchs, the New England patriarchs.
I should know that. My wife's British. Is the mother the matriarch and the father's the patriarch? I think that's the way it is.
I think so. But
I play both roles, so either or.
I don't know. I think we should go back to a king and queen system here in the States. I'd be bishop. I want to run for bishop.
I know somebody would like that, and he sits in the White House.
All right, Jake Jacobson, thanks for your time, buddy.
Thanks, pal.
Hey, this is Styles G. White, and I've never been so disappointed in my life. Just play it. Hey, this is Styles G. White, former Buccaneer. You're listening to the Ozzy Sports Junkie on the Sports Junkie Radio Network.
All right, Ozzy back on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast. My next guest, a longtime Buccaneer insider. This guy knows more about football than anyone ever forgot about. He and I have a bit of a past. We used to anchor a desk of a talk show, a TV show, here in Sarasota, Let's Talk Sports, with our good buddy Don Gershio and Doug Fernandez. And boy, Leo Haggerty, I miss our Thursday night men's club when we used to meet down there at the TV studio and then follow it up with beers and burgers down on Main Street, Sarasota. Man, those were some golden times, weren't they, Leo?
They were, Osmosis. And I tell you, it was one of the greatest TV shows in the world because no one believes it. But you know what prep was? Show up and talk. That was it. We never did any prep work, and we just winged it for 58 minutes. It was pretty deep.
It was a lot of fun. It was the highlight of my week for about a 3 or 4 year period. And the first, Doug Fernandez, I had just known him from reading him in the paper, and I thought, this guy's always got an axe. He's always got a crack on the Bucks. He's always got a New England angle to every single story. And the first thing I say to him, he goes, where are you on? I said, I'm on in Chicago every night. He says, this ain't Chicago, kid. Well, we wound up being best buddies. So I made a lot of friends out of it. How about our boy, Sal Capaccio, who goes from riding shotgun next to Donnie? He's doing pre and post game for the Buffalo Bills radio network, 100 stations wide up in northern New York.
And he's got his own Saturday morning show, and he's a sideline reporter for the Bills. I'll tell you what, maybe we have to shave our head. That could work.
I'll tell you what, man, the Aussie karma are just rubbing off on everybody, but God bless him. I never knew a guy. Of course, he was doing a Buffalo Bills podcast when we were doing that show, so God bless him. There's not a highlight. He lives for Buffalo sports, so I'm happy for him.
Yes, he is, and he gets down to the Sarasota area about once a year, and we get together with now that we know you're alive and not the...
Well, I was covered up in that tsunami back in 2011, but I managed to make my way to the surface. What do you find yourself doing now, Leo? I know you're up there. Tell me what publication you're with. It's Sports Magazine. How long have you been with this outfit?
Well, I've been with It Sports for the last 4 years. We've been doing following the Bucks, the Bulls, the Lightning. We're starting to branch out now. We've got a camera crew going to all the LSU games, and we figured we'd try to...
SportsMag.com. I'll tell you, Leo.
Correct.
There's so many avenues and outlets to be heard, to be seen, to have your voice for the masses. It's an incredible time we live in. For instance, a high school football game that I would do 20 years ago, Leo, we were lucky if we got a halfway decent signal over a shitty phone line back to the studio. Now, and the only other choice was to buy a $5,000 piece of equipment. Now you can download it on your phone for free and get high-def audio from anywhere to anywhere. You know, before long, Uncle Sam's going to dip his beak into any kind of online broadcasting, and you're going to need a license. I guarantee, mark my words.
Oh, yeah, it's like prostitution out in Nevada. Once they figure out you can make tax money off of that, it's going to be in about 49 other states.
Exactly. I can't wait for them to legalize it here in Florida. I long for the day when I can smoke my legal weed with my legal hooker on my arm and go down to 7-Eleven and place a three-team parlay on a Saturday afternoon college card. It's coming soon to
me. Oz, you got to play your three-team parlay in a
the WNBA Beaver Ball. I get all my locks to my girl. She's crushing it on a FanDuel. All right, well, you're out there at training camp. It's funny because I heard your voice and I said, that's only one chainsaw gargling, razor blade eating voice. And that is Leo Haggerty. Feel free to let other guys ask questions too, Leo. You're firing rapid fire.
Oz, you know what? If I'm going to get out there and sweat my bazongs off, I'm going to ask questions.
You bet your ass you are. And you can tell Arians at first, he kind of came like, who the hell is this guy? But I can tell now he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you every press conference, and I can't quite see your face, but I can see your hand in there. And I'd say three out of every four questions is our guy Leo, so he's up there just grinding it out. What do you make of Arians, first off, and do you think he could change the culture here in Tampa Bay? I think that's the biggest question you can ask as a Bucks fan, right?
Well, yeah, and let's take it from back from when he was born. He's a Pennsylvania Jersey guy, which means you're going to get no BS, you're going to get quick, concise answers to the point, and he's not going to BS you. And that's the big thing. You know, what he's telling you is what he believes. It's, you're not going to be getting, you know, the soft soap. You're not going to be getting this. And again, after one game, he said, hey, we made 37 mental mistakes and 21 were receivers. They're going to be out of job here shortly.
I love
it. He's not messing around. And finally, he talked about, you know, I asked him about mental reps the other day. I said, you got to get 30 guys ready to play four quarters here soon. How important are mental reps? He goes, well, these guys got to prove to me they're smart enough to be practice players. So I said, okay, I'll let that go a couple questions. And I said, coach, simplistic question. Can a dumb guy play for you? He looked me dead in the eye, shook his head and said, no, that's all I needed.
Well, you know, that's the question I asked, Leo, to get the starters out of there after one series on offense. Now, some of the linemen sticking around there, some of the defensive linebackers, what have you, in there for the first quarter. But Jamison company, Rojo and company, all your top line, I understand not wanting to get them hurt. I understand that. But you're working a new offense in, and sure, football's a 60-minute game on the clock. It's about 3.5 hours, Florida in August. I mean, it's a long, long process for a guy. Practice is a couple plays, you take a breather. 3.5 hours at NFL game, I don't know how you get ready for that other than to go do it. And, well, it seems like every year they use the excuse we're going to bring a team down from up north and smoke them out. But it doesn't always pan out that way because the Bucks have got their ass kicked many a time on opening day in their own house.
Yeah, and you know what, Oz, when you talk about what they're doing, I got a feeling, you know, Arian said, you know, I want to get 20 good snaps in. And I just think they're going to play a series into the second half because you got to get a feeling like Devin White has never played an NFL game, and he's going to have to win at halftime, probably get an IV, and come back out and start the second half. I don't think they want that to be his first experience.
Exactly. I mean, and then I understand not wanting to get a guy hurt, but this is a team that needs work on both sides of the ball. As much as Winston and that offense has been a bullseye for criticism, Leo, the defense has been worse. Wouldn't you agree? There hasn't been a lead safe in Tampa in at least maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. I've seen them drop 4 touchdown leads, hence the Kirk Cousins game.
Yeah, they couldn't stop dead people.
No, they couldn't. Every year, a quarterback gets a multi-million-dollar deal based on a backup performance against the Buccaneers. Last year, it was the Trubisky up there in Chicago. Every year, there should be a Hall of Fame of guys who just light up out of nowhere. They light up this Buccaneer defense. And you can say what you want about this Buccaneer team. Sure, they were a losing franchise, but they always had the hammers over the middle. They always were a hard-hitting defense, win, lose, or draw. And that's just, they've just gotten away from it. I think they need to get back to that square one.
Well, you know what, Oz, and here's what I like about it. With Arians, it's all football. There's no music. Being 66 and knowing this is your last time, you may be doing things different. My way or the highway. If they don't like it, I'll take the highway. I got a feeling that's kind of what I'm going to get.
You can win a free beer at any bar in Tampa Bay by betting who's the oldest coach in Buccaneers history. Everyone and their brother is going to tell you John McKay. He was 61. He looked like he was 80.
Right.
He looked like he was 80 when he left town. Arians is 66. There's a big question, though. I did not know this until about 3 weeks ago, and I've maybe beaten the dead horse as I keep bringing it up. But I think it bears, at least I'd like to get your reaction. He's not had one season as a head coach, Leo, where he hasn't wound up in the hospital at some point during the 16-week schedule. I mean,
pretty much. So how many? I'm hoping the Bucs win.
It's going to take a Jameis Winston four picks Sunday at about 140 game temperature. All you might see is a blood stain and a red hat.
Players accountable and buying in and a good head coach means anything, it's going to be double digit.
Well, that seems to be what I'm seeing, and I'm hearing a different vibe coming out of the players and just in their interviews and quotes. I'll tell you what, when that kick went through the uprights the other night, you think that was a regular season game. Those guys wanted to get that win Friday night.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I asked him before he went to Pittsburgh. I said, what do you want to get out of the game? He said, win. If we're not playing to win, something's wrong. I go, okay.
Very candid when he said, I wasn't going for a tie. I want to get the hell out of here.
Right, exactly.
So Leo Haggerty joins us on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast with Ozzy the Sports Junkie. Leo and I go way back. Leo, an insider. Leo, I've never heard your background. You must have coached at some point. Where do you get all this football prowess and knowledge?
Well, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a photographic memory. You know, what I see, I remember, and that's lucky. And the being around you and Sal and the Portuguese stallion down there, Doug Fernandes, there was a lot of football knowledge there. You know, Donnie was the king of the one-liners. I can remember one time I'm sitting on the show. And I went to Donnie, I said, you know what, the Bucs defense is so bad, you know, they could have Jesus and the apostles back there, and it couldn't stop anybody. And he went, name dropper. So that's vintage Donnie. But you know what, Lamar Dotson really hit the nail on the head. He said, you know what, guys didn't buy into the old regime, all of them. He said, guys are buying into this. And I looked at him, I said, Doc, you haven't won in 11 years since you've been here. I said, that's got to be tough. And he just let his big sigh out and looked at me. He said, yeah, it's frustrating. Think about this, Oz. Yeah. 11 years, and you finished a dead last, I think, 8 or 9 of those 11 years. That's tough.
It's starting to hit the guys like Mike Evans. He had an interview. And he deserves a win. That getting back to that offense, how much do you put into Rojo Jones looking good in camp and looking good in the first two preseason, albeit very limited touches? I think it's huge. It's huge if they can get a two-headed, even if it's him and Barber combined, any kind of running game makes Jameis Winston that much better of a quarterback because he's got the targets to hit with O.J. Howard, Brate, Evans, and Godwin is just going to be have a phenomenal year, I think.
Yeah, and you know what, Oz, you bring up a great point there because if you look at any quarterback in the NFL, that's a great quarterback. He's got a great running game. Yeah, I mean, look at Dak down at Dallas. I mean, and look at San Diego without Gordon. People don't realize it, how big a part they are this offense, because I'll tell you what, if you line up and that defensive end knows you're passing, he's a better athlete than the offensive tackle. He's going to beat him 7 out of 10 times.
I'll tell you what.
That doesn't go well for your quarterback.
Donovan Smith, to me, he's a nice guy, great guy in the community. Seems like a great person. I've never spoken with him. He's not, to me, he doesn't look like a starting left tackle. He does. When my quarterback's bigger than my left tackle, that's a problem. I like Donald Penn. He was a door with shoes on. I want a wedge over there. Maybe move Donovan Smith in. And it's a shame. If they weren't so up against the cap, Leo, where they had to let a guy like Quan Alexander, who was just hitting his prime. I know a lot of Buck fans want to kill Quan Alexander. But his first three games last year, he was playing like his hair was on fire. And, of course, he goes down with a broken leg. And then he's got to go to San Francisco because we can't afford him. And then we have to spend a number one pick to bring in another linebacker where we could have kept Quan and drafted a left tackle to protect, or maybe a running back or something. That leads to the question of the general manager. What a shocker that was. It was almost Watergate-like that story leaked out, that he was given the extension back in January. What was the vibe up there when that news came out on Monday?
It was shocking, as I'll tell you. We didn't know if he was going to make it through training camp. And especially if the kicker, Gay, if he turned out to be a bust, which I'll tell you what, that kid isn't a bust. That's the big thing.
I hope not. From what I'm seeing, he sure as hell isn't.
No, and I'll tell you, he made a 64-yarder indoors.
I saw a video of that. He hit a 51, a 57. He kept backing up, and each one straight through the uprights. I know it's only practice, but that alone, the kicking situation alone, you have to feel for Jason Light, Leo, because at the time, yeah, Lovie Smith was the right hire. At the time, Dirk Cutter was the right hire. All his number one picks seem like the guy to go to. At what point do you say, well, maybe it's just bad luck he's had with all this? I don't know.
Yeah, and you know what, Oz? When you look at that, and I grew up, and luckily, when I first started in this business, I had a great tutor, and it was Carmen Perone. And Carmen was the lead scout for the New Orleans Saints. And I sat down one night after dinner, and I said, Carmen, tell me about the draft. What's important? He said, first-round pick has to play, except if they're a quarterback. You can sit a quarterback, but if you pick a first-round guy, he's got to be on the field. He said, second-round guy, he's got to contribute. He's got to be your posse wideout. He's got to be your nickel DB. He's got to be your rush end when you go to that package. He said, third round and up, it's depth. You're just looking for depth, because if this guy comes in and starts and he's a third-round, fourth-round, or fifth-round pick, that means you're pretty terrible to start with.
Right, and this is a team that's drafted Jeremy McNichols. What do they call him? McWeapon out of Boise. He didn't even make the team, Leo. He was a second-round pick that didn't make the team. You can't afford to miss like that. Then you're playing catch-up for the next year. Those are guys that have to start and contribute.
Yeah, you're right. You can't miss on a first and a second-rounder.
No way. Let's hope to God that the Rojo Jones comes around. I don't know what changed in the offseason, but he looks like not only a different person, he looks like a different running back altogether. So let's hope. Mel Kiper Jr. said last year he was maybe the most explosive player in the draft.
Well, you know what, Oz? I'm watching him last year, and here comes the police. I think they're chasing him.
Oh, they found the bodies, Leo. They found the bodies.
They did, yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. Here he comes. Hold on. Let me hide.
I'll call Donnie G. We'll break into the vault.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm amazed the guy made it to the regular season, because I've never seen a running back who was hit behind the line of scrimmage more than Ronald Jones was in the preseason. I'd have been gun shy completely. And you could kind of see he was getting the ball and looking. Now he's running. Let's get one thing straight. If you're a running back at USC, you are not chopped liver.
Right.
they're elite guys.
And you're playing in front of 100,000 every Saturday. How could he have social anxieties? It's a third of the crowd in Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, and again, it was a shame how he got hurt. I don't know if you saw the kickoff, but he planted on that wet turf and it slid. I thought, oh, God, he's going to do the splits and we're going to have to go get a crane to get him up. So he's been out for a while. And I tell you what, it's just... It's a pleasure watching him hit a hole, because there is a little bit of a crease now. They're starting to show some things. The big thing, Oz, is they're going to that 3-4.
Right.
And what the 3-4 does is you do not get a pre-snap read as a quarterback because you don't know who's coming. You know there's a fourth guy, but it's a guessing game. And that's the nice thing. You know, if you're in a 4-3, you know what's going on. These guys are coming. You know, they can zone blitz every now and then and drop out, you know, the nose or drop out, you know, one of the ends. But 95% of the time, those four guys are coming. It's pre-snap read, and you can look back and say, oh, is it cover two, cover three, cover four, is it man?
And that officially puts a fork in any Tampa 2 even related defense, which, let's face it, that was 15 years ago. That had to go. It wasn't, their defense is just not working. So something had to be shifted up. But I'll put this to you, Leo. Even if Vita Vea starts on opening day, according to reports, he's not going to be out long. Somebody's got to step up. There's you know how many millions of dollars they have in dead weight on that bench and dead money as far as the Will Golston's, the Bo Allen's, the Spence who came on a little bit. How about Devontae Bond's got to make it? He's making some noise in camp because I thought Vita Vea last year at the end of the season, I was a little negative on him, obviously. He caught up to game speed by about week 10 or 11. I mean, this guy was playing like a madman, the guy that they envisioned when they drafted him.
Well, you know, I talked to Coach Peterson out at Washington, and I said, is he a three technique? He goes, he can play any of the four defensive line spots. So they're going to put him at nose. That's the key because he's going to get doubled, and he can play a double team. Warren Sapp had the greatest line ever. I asked Warren one time, how do you fight a double team? You know what he said? Fight one guy. If you're getting double teamed, go right or go left and fight one guy. You know, make the other guy immaterial, which is a great line. I mean, hello, here we go. And it makes sense.
To go from that front line, the linebacker crew, I guess Lavonte David's good to go for opening day. Is that what you're hearing?
It's going to be touch and go. But, you know, he had a meniscus. And, you know, normally that's 6 to 8 weeks. But these guys get, it's 24/7. They're getting treatment.
You got it. It was a bit of a clean out more than anything else, wasn't it?
Yeah. It wasn't. It wasn't like his leg was hanging off. Yeah, you're exactly right. It was. Let's get in here. Okay, let's do something while we're in here.
For a clean out of my liver about once every year and a half. There's a bunch of old pop top bottle caps in there, and you know,
yeah,
Mickey's
exactly.
Big top bottles. Leo Haggerty joins us from It Sports Magazine.
www.itsportsmag.com. Check out our work.
Absolutely. So much has been made about the safeties and the corners. I've never seen a team bring in more bodies, more draft picks, and still completely up in the air about who the hell's going to play it. What are the four or five that you have, nickeled it? I'd imagine Hargraves is obviously going to start on one side. Who else do we expect to see back there on the corners and the safety positions, Leo?
Oz, you know what? I couldn't even hazard a guess right now.
That's crazy.
Because Evans is hurt. I mean, they've got guys that, you know, Stewart, you don't know what he... I think the key is, and again, I asked Arians this when he first showed up. I said, Coach, you can't get a pass rush with four guys. What are you going to do? He goes, we're going to come with three. We're going to come with five. We may come with eight. But we're going to make sure we get somebody in there. Well, the problem is, you know, you come with five or more, you're going to play man. Which for Vernon Hargraves is a godsend. You know, he's a press corner, you know, and they're going to play man about 90-95% of the time and maybe give a little safety help over the top, maybe do a little, you know, cover four and that. But they're going to play man, and if they don't get a pass rush, they can have anybody back there. And I'm going to tell you what I tell everybody. If an NFL-level quarterback can throw it where he wants to, when he wants to, you're getting beat.
Oh,
he's going to 70% of the time.
Especially in that NFC South, where we come up against three other juggernauts of quarterbacks that just slice, dice, and julienne. Drew Brees has made a Hall of Fame career based on Buccaneer games alone.
Yeah, and, you know, I tell people, I said, I think the Bucs may have a top 10 quarterback in Winston. I said, here's your problem. He's the fourth best in the division.
Sure.
And, it's not even a contest with that. And it's not saying he's bad. It's just he's in a division with some elite quarterbacks. There's a Hall of Fame guy down in New Orleans. There could very easily be a Hall of Fame guy in Carolina or Atlanta. And if it wasn't for, you know, Kyle Shanahan going completely brain dead up there, they would have a Super Bowl. So, you know, that's just another thing for another time.
Well, that's probably the topic du jour around the country when it comes to the Buccaneers is, will Winston come through? It won't be because he lack of coaching. He's got the number one head coach for his quarterback, and they bring in the guru who brought Peyton Manning to prominence, Andrew Luck. He worked with Roethlisberger and old man Moore. He's about 98 years old. He's going to...
Tommy Moore, yep.
Will he be there on the sidelines, or is he just going to be kind of a coach to be in practice all week during the season?
I don't know. Maybe he'll be like a professor with the X-Men. You know, he'll be in a wheelchair or something and pointing things out with a little helmet on the head.
Or the evil emperor up in the box. Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Exactly. You know what, though? I tell you what, I think the best hire was Leftwich, because now when Winston comes off the field, he'll talk to somebody who's actually been there.
That's true.
And, you know, I asked Jameis, I said, how important is it? He goes, you have no idea how important that is. I mean, I'll get to talk to somebody who's actually felt a rush, who's actually, you know, had this happen to them. So, Byron Leftwich, that's a huge hire.
But he had a year and a half, a cup of coffee with the Bucs at the end of his career. He had the slowest windup. He looked like Bob Feller. I mean, it took him 30 seconds to get rid of the
ball. Yeah,
he had some good years in Jacksonville.
He had a wind-up, didn't he?
He had a huge wind-up. And I find it kind of odd that they bring in Arians for his offensive prowess, and he's been a play caller his entire career, and then he hands off the play-calling duties when he comes to Tampa to Byron Leftwich.
Well, I'll tell you what, Leftwich has done a hell of a job calling plays so far. I mean, when they go up to Pittsburgh, that first drive, a dozen plays, 11 of those plays worked. One of them, and the 12th worked because Winston was able to escape and, run for first down.
The difference between the preseason, which is just nonsensical, vanilla, garbage, but they don't show anything, Leo. You know, they don't tip their card. The regular season starts. Look at last season. If I'm not mistaken, did they not score from the first play from scrimmage? I mean, they opened up. I thought it was Dan Fouts and Eric Coryell. The difference between preseason and regular season is head and shoulders, and I'm ready for it. I hope we get at least a half of starters on Friday's Cleveland come calling. That's actually going to be a fun ball game. And then the dreaded fourth game, which they can just stick a fork in now. I've seen enough of Ryan Griffin to last me till the end of the century, and if he's putting together tape for another team, he's got like 500 hours because every year he gets three quarters for four games, and the guy's never taken a snap in a regular season game. I don't know how he does it.
It's like Glennon. You know, he's making a lot of money, not taking any hits.
Now he's out there with Gruden in Oakland. I can't wait for them to get to Vegas. I'll tell you what, looking at that Raiders, now granted, it's Napa Valley, it's 72 degrees, zero humidity. That practice facility, I've seen better high school fields, and the locker room, Leo, was splintered wooden blockers. I mean, they had their weights outside. I thought I was looking at old Pepinrude. I mean, it's brutal. Now, granted, they're going to get a massive upgrade come next year in Vegas, but what a shitty condition they've practiced with out there in Vegas. It's a little bit easier to lift weights, though, in Napa Valley than it is in Tampa, Florida in July.
Yeah, and you know what, though? It makes the old Bucs facility down there at One Buck look like a palace.
It does. It really is crazy. I can't wait.
Kind of crazy.
Oddly enough, the Buccaneers go to Vegas next year, and I'll be there with bells on. I'm looking to go to New Orleans this year. I'm telling you what, this could be a really exciting season. And there's a lot of talent on the team. I don't care what you say. You got Mike Evans, O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard's poised to have a huge season. Huge season. So, crazier things have happened, Leo.
Oh, yeah. But my big thing is they play their home game on September 21st. They don't play another home game until November 10th. That is an abomination.
Horrible scheduling.
Who did the Glazers piss off on that one? And again, they got to not only go to London, they got to go to L.A. and Seattle in that stretch. And you know what? If they go 2-4 in that stretch, that's good. That's why it's important. They need to go 2-1 or 3-0 right out of the gate. 2-1, that's not bad, because now you can be 4 and let's say 6 or 7, and that's not a bad thing, because you got 5 more home games.
I would guarantee you, Leo, I'll guarantee you they're going to be favored against the 49ers at home for that opener.
Oh, absolutely.
It'll probably be about a 4 or 5 point favorite. And then if they can get a win there, they play the very next Thursday night in Carolina against Cam Newton. Hell, start 2-0 we did last year, and it was Buck fever all over again and went straight into the shitter after that.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm looking at it this way. I think they'll go win, loss, win. I think they'll go 2-1, for these Thursday night games. Players hate it. So
maybe. Well, how far of a trip is it? It's only an hour and a half trip flight up to North Carolina.
Doesn't matter, Oz. It's just a pain in the butt.
I know, but they're not. I get a kick out of that when, well, they had to fly back. They're not driving in a bus like in the 1950s. Christ almighty, I fly out to Vegas, Leo, and I go 48 hours straight. I slept for 5 minutes, and I'm back on the plane headed south. Suck it up, Buttercup.
What she look like, Oz?
Wound up married to a waitress named Rhonda.
Tell you what, Oz, I'm going to have to take a ride down to the Oz Dome here one
Absolutely. I got
to
get you down in the new Sports Junkie Studios. I would absolutely love it. Well,
all right, my friend.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Leo.
Let's talk again next week.
Leo, you're the best, buddy, and I'll talk to you soon.
JoeBucksFan.com presents Bucks Game Day with Ozzy, the Sports Junkie.
It's time to get your
Start your Bucks Sunday with insight and outrage.
Get your head out of your ass.
It's a man out!
All season at JoeBucksFan.com.
A man out!